CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Today we have author of The Better World Shopping Guide, Professor Ellis Jones. Make sure to get more shows like this one at fireitupwithcj.com. I'm Cassandra, live from CBS Sky Radio. We're going to go right back to CJ and Professor Jones.
Hello, welcome back. Those who want to be a force for good. We are here talking about the Better World Shopping Guide with Professor Ellis Jones, who also teaches a class in consumer and corporate social responsibility at Holy Cross. And one of the things that he explores is what it means to be a good consumer, a good citizen, and good corporation. And we talked in the last segment about being a good consumer and being a good citizen. And now it's about, this segment is really focusing about being a good company. What does it mean to be a good company, and what is the role of a company in society? So welcome back, Ellis.
Oh, good to be back.
So what is the role? I mean, what is, if you work, if you're in a corporate corporation, what should its role be aside from providing two-thirds of the GMP? What else is its role?
Well, you know, it's really, I mean, we can boil it down to this. It's the old cliched saying of with power comes responsibility. These are now powerful institutions, and just because they're not political institutions doesn't mean that they don't have a responsibility. They do shape our world now more so than ever before, I would argue, historically. And thus, if we want our world to be a kind of nice place to live, we need to hold these institutions accountable. So their role is that of any powerful institution, and that is to behave responsibly and to kind of make sure that the world that we live in kind of moves forward rather than brings itself to self-destruct.
Okay, and in the previous segment, I was just joking. I know I'm not evil. At least I don't think I'm evil just because I've worked in those companies. One of the things that we were talking about during the break is you're making a distinction between corporate behavior and versus the people who work within those institutions. But, you know, let's say I work in those institutions and, you know, when you're in those companies, well, I can honestly say at Microsoft, when I was there, my primary focus was making the best possible product that met the needs of the consumer. And I'm not just saying that because it's on some corporate social responsibility, you know, report. I honestly, that was what I was driven for. That's what I thought about. I was trying to make the world a better place, to have a desktop on every, you know, to add efficiency. I mean, that's really what I was thinking of. But,
this,
I mean,
this is, yeah, really important point, right, that all of these people, you know, are actually very nice people. I mean, for the most part, you know, at every level, there are many, you know, incredibly nice CEOs and all the people that work for the company. And, you know, everybody is just kind of getting by like everyone else and trying to kind of do things right. And yet the corporations, all of these kind of good intentions can end up with some very problematic results. And so what we want to do is kind of hold the corporation accountable, because there are forces kind of pushing it in the other direction. Like, we have in some ways unintentionally set up a market system which rewards kind of profit at any cost and thus drives companies, for example, to move all of our jobs abroad and then to move them abroad from one place to a place that is less expensive and has less environmental regulation and then to another place that has lower labor standards and is even cheaper and has no environmental regulation and from there to somewhere else. Now, we've created this system not intentionally, not thinking about it, and yet between us and particularly with publicly held corporations, stockholders and investors who are just interested in those numbers picking up in the right direction, you know, we produce some kind of economic world which is generating results that are really troubling. And there's no kind of individual to kind of point the finger at. And there's no, you know, we can't just get the bad people out, because there aren't bad people really running the system. It's the system itself that needs to be changed.
I know, but how do we change it? I mean, it's called capitalism, right? I mean, this is how market economies work. I mean, it's called capitalism. It's, you know, it's why we're here.
Point. you know, capitalism itself exists today in many forms. You know, what technically what they have in Zimbabwe is capitalism, and yet they have like a, you know, $9 trillion inflation rate. And technically what they have in China is capitalism, but, you know, working conditions in the U.S. look very different than working conditions in China. So technically, capitalism is actually a whole spectrum of capitalisms. And the question is, do we want to set up a system for ourselves which results in what I would call brutal capitalism? Raw capitalism, in which you basically eliminate ultimately all working and environmental standards at the kind of bottom line of profit, or do we want to create a kind of long-term sustainable capitalism which benefits the bottom line and workers and the environment and other things? Because we have models for that. We have, you know, there are models in Europe. There are models in, even Canada has a, you know, a slightly better model for this than we do. And so that capitalism on this spectrum is really about choice. Do we want to end up, you know, 50 years down the road in the kind of most brutal forms of capitalism that we can imagine? Or do we want to end up in a system of capitalism that somehow, you know, people and the environment all win at the same time that capitalism moves forward?
But here's the problem. We're in a global economy. So I can say, yes, absolutely. I don't want to devolve into brutal capitalism. But the bottom line is someone from China is going to produce a solar panel cheaper than someone in the U.S. because they've made investments. And maybe that's part of what you're saying. I mean, those are the kind of things that the government should be doing to actually support us to do the right things. But I mean, ultimately, because it's capitalism and we live in a, maybe it's a cop-out for me, but I mean, because it's capitalism and you live in a global marketplace, what to do? I mean, we're driven by trying to get our prices down, and consumers will not buy stuff that's expensive, right? So what do we do?
Well, in some ways, we're already doing it. So, for example, you know, most of Europe and much of Australia and Canada, there are many other economies that are very powerful in the world that are already moving further in the right direction than we have moved. And we can go and say, like, okay, well, we don't want to move in the direction, say, that China is going, which there is, you know, almost no minimum wage and there's terrible environmental standards and things are much more brutal and so forth. And that is kind of another thing that's pulling global capitalism in a different direction. And yet, out of all of this, with all of this talk, you know, it's estimated now that, I don't know if listeners know of the term LOHAS, the lifestyles of health and sustainability marketplace. Like this year, in 2012, it was estimated $290 billion were spent in that LOHAS market. This is $290 billion really sent out by consumers to say, hey, you know what? I am thinking long term. I want to see kind of products and companies and people and the environment all benefit, and this part of the marketplace is growing at an enormous rate, where that kind of general kind of competitive lowest price marketplace is just not growing at the same pace.
Okay, fair enough. I get that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that because I have another question after that. Okay. Poor Alice Jones. He caught me when I'm in an ornery mood. We have the Better World Shopping Guide. And in the next segment, we're going to be talking about how you can actually buy products and vote for good companies, doing good things, be a good citizen, and still not have to play outrageous prices. And the top 10 things you can do to change your world. We'll be right back.